First thing you will notice if you read the program is that my title has changed a bit and my co-author has disappeared. It's for the same reason I don't have any molecular results. It's purely morphology. So I call this this talk Towards a Phylogeny of the Cactus Feeding Physetines, Approaching the Limit of Adult Morphology. My wife actually suggested that I should call it Extending the Limits of Adult Morphology, as it would be a more positive title, but I felt it would be a little bit megalomaniac as well. But, as Amanda said, her presentation presented the first molecular higher-level phylogeny of physetines, and this is actually the first higher-level morphological phylogeny of physetines as well. Because physetines, you have Amanda's introduction, you saw that, so I'm not going to go into what they actually are, but the higher classification relationships are very poorly understood. And I will give you another Heinrich quote, actually several years before his 1959, that this is not so much the fault of any entomologist as of the physetides himself. And he further said that several character systems were absolutely hopeless to use, and that any classification based on wing venation would be unnatural. So what do you do? Well, you can take a Amanda's approach and take a shotgun sample of more or less the whole subfamily and analyze that. And that will work fairly well for molecular studies if you get good material. But as a morphologist, that would really be a vain and futile performance, because it takes time to do morphology. Everyone who's done that will know that. So another approach is to look at a group that is presumed tentatively to be monophyletic. And one group could be the cactus-feeding genera and their closest allies. Actually, the paper I just quoted of Heinrich was his first paper on physetines, and he treated the cactus-feeding genera of the New World, obviously only of the New World, as cactus only are in the New World, plus one Holarctic genus, and said that they probably constituted a natural group. And that word natural group goes again and again through the cactus feeders. No one has had the guts to call them monophyletic, but everybody has said that they are probably a natural group. And it's a fairly small to large micromod. Some of them look like drab, medium-sized noctuates. There are only 16 genera that actually are cactus feeders, and then 4 non-cactus feeding genera in this group. And several other genera are considered to be close to the main group, whatever that means. And here is a picture of several of them. The top ones up here are all true cactus feeders. And this is the Holarctic genus Syphodia that Heinrich included in his first revision. It's a gooseberry feeder. And down here are some of the other so-called close groups. This genus actually is predaceous on scale insects on cactus, and it bores inside the cactus. So it could have been an adaptation from being a stem borer in the cactus, and then it attacks the scale insects from the ventral side. This one is assumed to be close to Lateria here next to it because of assumed similarities in larval lifestyle, though absolutely nothing is known about the juvenile stages of this group. And very little is known of the adults as well. And the others are examples of other so-called closely related groups. I mentioned Heinrich's first paper, where he reviewed the group, and then in his big, monstrous revision of all the New World physetines, he included a few other genera in the cactus feeders in broad sense, and placed several genera such as the Homosoma group, the Cassiana group, and the Meschinia group close to the cactus feeders based on male genitalia. Ressler synonymized all the cactus feeding physetines with Syphodia, and usually you would say that's a pretty strong indication that he felt they were monophyletic. I'm a little bit dubious what Ressler meant in a lot of his publications, but at least it's he probably considered them to be close related. And he also placed several Palearctic genera close to the Homosoma group. Nonsuch, in his fascicle on the cactus feeding, the fourth fascicle on physetines, and the monofascicle, actually treated this group plus the North American relatives, or what he considered to be relatives. He did not use the term monophyletic either, and he rejected Ressler's synonymization and used most of the old genera. So the questions I want to ask are, do the cactus feeding genera comprise a monophyletic group? Are these four genera, Syphodia, Ragia, Latilia, and Bathala, closely related to the cactus feeders as suggested by Heinrich? And how are these related to other of Heinrich's groups? And finally, because most people who've been working on Pfizer times have said that either this or this character system is of no use. I would like to see, are some character systems actually more useful and more informative in phylogenetic analysis than others? So I included 19 of Heinrich's genera in broad sense as in-group. I had material from some others, but they were old mounted specimens, and that I'm contrary to Richard, I don't like mounted specimens because I like to look at the 3D structures in glycerin. So I wasn't able to score all my at least abdominal characters for these groups, so I didn't include them. Rostratilia, the genus I pointed out to you, was included since it was suggested by Blaunshardt and Ferguson that it belonged in this group. They discovered that it was a physocyte. Before that, it wasn't even, its family status wasn't even known. And I then included 8 of Heinrich's closely related genera as near outgroups, and 4 genera that were never suggested to be close to this group as far outgroups. And the reason for this approach is that by choosing genera, a lot of genera that are supposedly close to the in-group and some further away, I minimize the risk of imposing monopoly onto my in-group artificially. I'm not neglecting it, but I'm minimizing the risk. So, I scored from basically all adult character systems that you could. Head, wing, and abdominal morphology, including male and female genitalia. Carry out maximum parsimony analysis in 3 different programs, basically because I learned by experience that PULP is not necessarily very good at handling difficult data sets. And I analyzed the character distributions in MacLeod, and I then calculated Bremer support, of course, but also partition Bremer support. I partitioned my data set in 5 partitions to see which ones were more informative than others. And I ended up with 65 characters in these 5 partitions, 15 characters from head morphology, 13 from wing morphology, which was mainly wing venation, 15 from predenatalic abdomen, including the male abdomen 8, Amanda also mentioned, that's highly variable within the physocytes, 8 from female genitalia, and 14 from male genitalia. And I've been working on other groups, including butterflies, and this is an extremely low percentage of genitalic characters. But simply, I couldn't score any more confidently. I ended up with 12 most parsimonious trees, 252 steps long, not 251. And this is the consensus tree. And lo and behold, morphology actually tells us something. We actually have all the red dots up here mark actual cactus feeders. This Ragea here was suggested to be closely related to the cactus feeders. It feeds on Crassulaceae or live forevers, which means that it's pretty easy to imagine a host switch. And then this gooseberry feeder here, Sophoria, of which it's a bit more hard to imagine how you have a host switch, in this case, from gooseberries to cactus. And then down here, the phala, which doesn't have a circle because it's predaceous on scale insects, mainly on pine trees. And several actually of Heinrich's groups, what I call the Meskinia group here, comes out monophyletic. The homosomal group comes out monophyletic. And these numbers here are Bremer support values above 1, so it's not a very well-supported tree. But at least it's resolved, which is more than we had earlier for physocytes. And I'll just look at one group, the cactus feeders, in broad sense, including Ragea, Sophoria, and Befala. They appear to form a monophyletic group, and there is actually some character support for that group. First of all, the terminal segment of the maxillary palpus is gramatus, which means that it has a fan-shaped tuft of scales. That occurs in other physocytes as well, not in this group I analyzed, but I won't spend more on that character, especially because it's actually reversed in a lower grade within the tree. Then the anticosta of the tergum tree is M-shaped. It's parallel to 2 of the far outgroup taxa. It basically looks like this. On top you have the M-shaped anticosta, and below it the more commonly ring-shaped and fairly narrow anticosta. The sclerotization of the female dorsum 8 is in dorsal view with an anterior incision. It's reversed in one deep in-group taxa and parallel in 1 of the far outgroup taxas. And you'll notice that I call it dorsum 8, I don't call it tergum 8, because in Lepidoptera there's a lot of debate about the sclerotizations in the female genitalia, so I use purely descriptive terms. It looks like this. This is basically the anterior ridge of the dorsum 8, and in this case we have a round incision. It can be sharp way deeper than this, but the margin is never even as it usually is in Pluralis. And finally, what I think is a really good character, this is the male tegumen and oncus and natus down here in lateral view. It's a good example that you need to look at 3D characters, because you can see this character in mounted material, but you have to know what you're looking for, so you have to actually observe it first. But there are sclerotized lobes on top of the base of oncus and the tegumen. And it's paralleled in one of the new ingrowth taxa, and also present in Lotelia. And I don't say paralleled because I still believe that there is a good chance that Lotelia actually moves closer to the cactus feeders when we include more characters. But if we look at the different character partitions and their support, if we look at them, there were 33 clades in all in the tree. Head characters supported 7, and didn't support 16. Wing characters supported 19 and didn't support 4. Pre-metallic abdomen supported 17 and didn't support 6. And then female and male genitalia, again, as head characters, were very little supported. And if you look at the total partition Bremer support, we'll see that female genitalia actually have a negative Bremer support. And judging from this alone, you would say that in this case, pre-metallic abdomen and wing venation are the two big character systems. But if we then analyze the characters, now you can't see this, but this tree over here is excluding genitalic characters, and this one is excluding pre-genitalic characters and wing venation, which were the two most informative character sets. And we'll actually see that the one which has the two most informative character sets excluded from the analysis is the most resolved, and the one that bears most similarity to the overall result. And if we analyze the two characters, the two genitalic character systems alone and the wing and pre-genitalic character systems alone, we'll see that, well, there's more resolution in the genitalic tree, but it doesn't bear much similarity to the total analysis, and the other tree isn't very resolved. So the take-home messages here are, first of all, that the general and non-6 97 physical appear to be closely related, but maybe paraphyletic. The two other groups here appear to be closely related. The homosoma groups need revision with paleoptic taxa, which I hope to do before I retire. Rostrotelia, we skip these are more, but these are the two very important take-home messages in the physocyte phylogeny. All characters are needed, and we need more characters than we have here, including larval and molecular characters. And a lot of acknowledgement, and that's it.
Thank you.